Reporting local news, this is Wayne Cruzy. The Board of Marshall County Commissioners met in regular session on Monday conducting routine business. The commissioners unanimously hired Patrick O'Neill from Beatty to serve as the Agency on Aging Director with a 90-day probation and a salary of $36,000. After the 90-day probation, there'll be an evaluation for a possible salary increase. The Nemahaw County Sheriff's Office is asking for help. Sometime in early February, an unknown suspect used information from a debit card belonging to a Nemahaw County resident. That person used the information to make a fraudulent purchase at an Excelsior Springs, Missouri Walmart. Surveillance video from the Walmart shows a white male, approximately 5 foot 10 inches tall. He was seen driving away in a late model dark-colored Chevy Malibu. If you have any information about this, please call the Nemahaw County Sheriff's Department at 785-336-2311. Reporting local news, this is Wayne Cruzy.
There are some tough choices in life, such as
Brussels sprouts or broccoli? Better Christmas present, socks or tie?
Deciding where to bank? Now that's easy. United Bank and Trust prides itself on its hometown customer service that is unmatched by any. And couple that with unbeatable products and cutting-edge free services, well, you have a bank that just can't be beat. All in all, it's a bank where you ask, they answer. You bank, they deliver. United Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch Menu today, vegetable soup, chicken salad sandwich, a veggie plate, and grape salad. Tomorrow, meatloaf, Baby Baker's wheat bread, Normandy blend, and tropical fruit. KNDY News Time, 7:13.
The Marysville Chamber of Commerce and AT&T invite you to their annual legislative forum with Senator Elaine Bowers and Representative Sharon Schwartz on Saturday at Marysville City Hall. Coffee and rolls will be served at 9, with the forum starting at 9:30. There will be updates from the legislators and time for question and answers at the Legislative Forum this Saturday at City Hall.
The Norris Motor Company in Marysville has new and used pickups. Several used units include a Chevy Silverado, a Z71 four-wheel drive package double cab. They have a Ford F-150. It's the XLT package extended cab. And they have another Chevy Silverado 1500 model four-wheel drive crew cab at the Norris Motor Company in Marysville.
Prepare ye to be inspired by songs of friendship, loyalty, and love. Songs based on the Gospel of Matthew. In concert, Godspell on Palm Sunday, with performances at 2 in the afternoon and 7:30 in the evening at the Memorial Presbyterian Church in Marysville. An eclectic blend of songs tells the story of Jesus' life. In Concert Godspell is sponsored by the Marysville Area Community Theater, the Marshall County Arts Cooperative, and Landmark Enterprises Incorporated. Admission is free.
Here's your KNDY WeatherEye forecast, powered by weatherology.com for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. Temperatures remaining well above average here for today, but as a cold frontal boundary approaches our area from the west, looking at the day on Tuesday coming up, those temperatures turning cooler, and that cooling trend looks to continue Wednesday and into your Thursday coming up as well. Back into the 50s for high temperatures by the time we hit your Thursday. And along with that frontal boundary working in from the west, do pick up a chance for some shower and storm activity for tonight coming up, and at least a slight chance for showers and storms into your Tuesday as well. Taking a closer look at your forecast. For today, some fog possible early on, otherwise becoming mostly sunny with high temperatures reaching the upper 70s. Then for tonight, a chance for some showers and storms, a low temperature in the middle 40s. For the day on Tuesday, at least a slight chance for showers and storms, 64. And for your Wednesday, expect a high of 60 degrees. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro.
Average high temperature mid-March, 55. The average low, 32. If you didn't move your clocks forward over the weekend, you're probably already late as we move to daylight savings time. Sunset at 7:28, sunrise in the morning at 7:35. Foggy this morning, 41 degrees, winds are calm. Barometer 29.65 inches, and the relative humidity up there near 100%. That's check of the morning news and weather for this Monday, the 14th of March. KNDY News Time, 7:16. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
So Bank Midwest, why should you be my small business bank?
We play to your strengths.
What's your greatest strength?
Our common sense solutions that put big box banking as usual problems behind you so you never feel small.
And your greatest fear?
Clowns. Yours?
Red tape. Back to this common sense thing. Examples.
We roll out the red carpet, not the red tape. And we know your name.
That's big.
Small business is big to us. So, let's work together.
We will, but first, there's a creepy clown behind you.
Nice try. Visit one of our banking centers or go to bankmw.com/smallbusiness today. Bank Midwest, where common sense lives.
Centralia girls and boys win state championships. Axtell girls finish runner-up, and the Hanover boys finish fourth. Recapping state tournament play from Saturday, girls Class 1A Division 2 Dighton over Axtell in the championship 64-56. Ingalls took Wetmore in the consolation 64-51. Boys Division, Attica over Hartford in the championship. St. John's Tipton defeated Logan in the consolation. Girls 1A Division 1, Centralia beat Waverly for the title 54-36. St. Paul took Hoxie 31-30 in the consolation. In boys' play, Centralia over Osborne 38-27. Victoria defeated Hanover boys in the consolation 63-60. Girls Class 2A Central Plains over Olpe in the championship. Valley Falls took Hill City in the consolation. In the boys' division, Jackson Heights over Sacred Heart 64-55 for the championship. Central Plains defeated Hill City in the consolation. Girls Class 3A, Silver Lake over Sabetha 57-44 for the girls' title. TMP took Sterling in the consolation. Boys 3A, Osage City defeated Sabetha 56-49 in the championship. Southeast of Saline over Garden Plain in the consolation. Girls Class 4A Division 2, Clay Center wins the championship over Topeka Hayden 56-50. Huguenin defeated Girard in the consolation. In the boys' division, Collegiate took Huguenin in the championship. And it was Rock Creek over Collegiate, or I should say Girard in the consolation.
This is an Ag Business Update powered by AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers. Well, the author of a mandatory GMO labeling bill will not support a labeling proposal by Ag Secretary Vilsack. Senator Jeff Merkley, a Democrat from Oregon, says he opposes Vilsack's approach to GMO labeling. Now, Merkley introduced a mandatory labeling bill just days after the Senate Ag Committee approved voluntary measures by Kansas Senator Pat Roberts, who serves as chairman of the committee. Vilsack's proposal is known as a mandatory disclosure, which would use smart labels and 1-800 numbers for consumers to find out more information. Now, Merkley has responded by saying Americans do not want to stand in a grocery store and make phone calls to find information. All three of these proposals would ban state labeling laws like the Vermont one that will take effect in July. The Senate was expected to vote on the voluntary labeling proposal in the coming weeks, and Vilsack said the federal system has to be mandatory in order to get 60 votes to pass out of the Senate. USDA Secretary Vilsack will travel with the president to Cuba later this month. The trip will be the first visit by a sitting president in nearly 90 years to Cuba. The island country sits 90 miles off the coast of Florida. This will be Secretary Vilsack's second trip to Cuba. In November, Vilsack led a delegation of government officials traveling to Havana in the interest of strengthening bilateral agriculture engagements. During his visit in November, Vilsack met with Cuban leadership along with farmers. USDA says Vilsack will use the second trip to Cuba to discuss opportunities for collaboration in agriculture among the U.S. and Cuba, and to better understand how climate change is affecting agricultural production in Cuba, and continue to help American businesses interested in exporting to Cuba. The administration will announce more easing of trade and travel restrictions on Cuba this week. The president will then travel to Cuba on March the 21st. Find more ag information online anytime, agview.net. With this Ag Business Update, powered by agview.net, I'm Ken Rogers.
Ag news and market information from Mid-America Ag Network. A report by the University of Missouri is predicting more pressure on farm finances over the next several years. The university released the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, or FAPRI, baseline report last week. The report says lower commodity prices have produced a sharp decline in net farm income and continued pressure is likely.
We are looking at several years probably of pretty tight financial situation in U.S. agriculture. Farm income is less than half of the 2013 peak, and we expect it to remain low for the next several years.
Pat Westhoff is director of FAPRI. He says net farm income in 2015 was less than half of the record level of 2013. The report says modest increases are projected for later years leave inflation-adjusted net farm income at about the same level in 2025 as it was last year. Ag News, market information from Mid-America Ag Network.
It's time again for Farming America. I'm Steve Alexander with information about the world's most essential industry, agriculture, of course. More than ever before, it's important for those who are producing our food to be able to communicate with the consumers of the food. And we have some tips on how to go about that after this.
Farming America is brought to you by Stories from the Heartland by Max Armstrong. As one of America's favorite farm broadcasters for over 40 years, Max has been spreading the good word about the great work being done by the men and women who feed the world. Max has met some fascinating people along the way, and his book, Stories from the Heartland, is a beautiful hardcover, full-color tribute to those people and to the American farmer. Max's book is available at BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon, but for an autographed copy, go to MaxArmstrongBook.com and look for the Farming America window for a special price. That's MaxArmstrongBook.com for your autographed copy. The farmer in your life will love this book. The website again, MaxArmstrongBook.com. Now, if you have a book you'd like to publish, contact Max's publishers and they'll chat with you about options. You can find their contact information on Max's website, maxarmstrongbook.com.
When it comes to those of us in Farming America communicating with consumers about the food that we produce, it can't hurt to have a unified voice and to have some expert advice. Melissa Kinch is with Ketchum West Public Relations, and she was there at the beginning of the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance.
We helped USFRA launch in 2011 and really begin their journey in terms of communicating and earning trust with consumers. I think it's been kind of amazing, first of all, to be able to create the sustained movement. And a lot of it is really focused on getting more and more farmers to raise their voices. And we've seen so much success with that in terms of improving storytelling and seeing more and more consumers being interested in hearing from farmers and ranchers. But there's a lot more left to do.
And the biggest challenges for the farmer or rancher in communicating with the non-farm consumer?
One thing we find a lot is just the divide between the rural and urban populations is pretty big. And people on the coast don't often understand or think about the people in the middle of the country and vice versa. But even more than that, I think when USFRA first started, getting in farmers and ranchers off the sidelines, be comfortable telling their stories, because understandably they might have felt attacked or that people wouldn't understand them. But the more they get out there and just talk about what goes on the farms, the more they realize they have a lot in common with consumers.
But when somebody's attacking you, it's kind of hard to keep your cool and keep the emotion out of it. What is Melissa Kinch's advice in doing that?
I think the first thing is to remember why consumers might be angry or upset in the first place. Everybody eats, so everybody thinks they're an expert in food. And eating is very emotional. People feed it to their children. It's what sustains them. So consumers have a lot of fear, and there's a lot of misinformation. If you start by understanding that they're just fearful about what they're eating and they want to do the right thing for their family, that might break down some of that defensiveness. And maybe even acknowledging, I understand you have a lot of questions, or I understand you might have a lot of fears, let's talk about it. And try and bring it down to the human level versus kind of the attack, counterattack is probably the best way to start and think about things.
And Melissa Kinch says part of the USFRA strategy is to take the conversation into the big cities.
Absolutely. That's a lot of what U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance has done and does. So USFRA does food dialogues. They do a lot of events. They attend a lot of events. They do a lot of media, particularly in the urban core, where people are very passionate about food, but maybe don't have access to a lot of our farmers.
Melissa Kinch on behalf of the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance. Back after this.
Our good life in Nebraska and America is tied to agriculture. Americans spend less on food than any other country in the world. Because of that, we can spend more on homes, vehicles, and time with our families. We owe a great deal of thanks to the American farmer for providing safe, healthy, affordable food. During Ag Appreciation Week, the Farmers Cooperative says thank you for feeding the world and keeping our economy strong. Farmers Cooperative. Investing in our owner's success. And we are investing in agriculture.
Farming America is a presentation of the Tribune Radio Network. I'm Steve Alexander.